forward 2,000 years to where we're at now. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who do people say that Jesus is now? Then we're going to look at it from the standpoint of, we're going to ask Jesus. We're going to look at it. Jesus, who do you say that you are? And then we're going to close out with Jesus looking at it from Jesus asking you the same question he ends up asking the disciples, who do you say that I am? So let's look first at who do people say that I am? So I'm just going to, this is from Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? This is the question that he's asked them. To understand a little bit of the context up to this point, so far in Jesus' ministry, this is still fairly early on in Jesus' ministry, he's called his first disciples, he's begun his ministry in Capernaum, he's healed countless people, he's preached most likely the most quoted sermon in all of history, he's calmed a storm with the spoken word, he's cast out demons, he's raised a girl from near death, he's called and sent out his 12 apostles. He's fed 5,000 people. He's walked on water. He's fed another 4,000 people. And he's already begun his rivalry, if you will, with the Pharisees. So there's probably a lot of buzz about Jesus in the area at this time. There is a very, very growing following and an acknowledging of the fact that Jesus is in Galilee doing these things. So Jesus kind of asks his disciples as they're traveling along what the word on the street is. Who do people say that I am? So they respond by saying, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So this morning we're going to look at, if Jesus was to ask that question now, who do people say that I am? I got this study. This was a study done in 2015, all the information that we're about to look at from Barna Research Group. Said the percentage of error on it was 3%, whatever that means. I didn't do that well in my statistics class in college. And I know the sample size was not the 325 million people in America, but it's a smaller sample size. But we're going to use it for today's lesson anyways. So who do people say that I am? Well, Jesus, some people say that you existed. This is a quote from the study. But although the character of Jesus has certainly been fictionalized, satirized, and mythologized over the centuries, the vast majority of Americans still maintain that he was a historical figure. And you can look at the percentages there. So we've got about 90% of all Americans acknowledge, Jesus, that you at least exist, you really did exist. And that's kind of where that's at. So who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, Jesus, most people at least acknowledge that you existed. One of the other points from the study, some say, Jesus, that you are from God. The historicity of Jesus may not be in question for most Americans, but people are much less confident about the divinity of Jesus. Most adults believe Jesus was God, while about one quarter say he was only a religious or spiritual leader like Muhammad or Buddha. And I think one thing that you'll notice as you look at the percentages is how they decline with the generations. Each younger generation, those percentages are going to be lower and lower, and that doesn't change for all of these statements. Notice the disparity between those who believe Jesus existed as a historical figure, about 90%, and those who actually believe that he was the Son of God. It's about a 40% drop. About 25%, about a quarter of all, say that he's a figure equal to Muhammad or equal to Buddha. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, Jesus, about half the people say you were just a man. Some believe, Jesus, that you were spotless. Americans are conflicted on whether Jesus committed sins during his earthly life. About half of Americans agree, either strongly or somewhat, that while he lived on earth, Jesus Christ was human and committed sins like other people. This is probably the most confusing stat of all the ones that I came across. Because if about 50% believed in the divinity of Christ, but only 30% of people believe that he never sinned, there's about 5% of people in there that must have a very, very, very interesting view of Christ. How in the world they could believe that he was the Son of God, but yet he still sinned if he was divine, I can't fathom that. But about 30% of Americans surveyed believe that Jesus never sinned. So who do people believe the Son of Man is? Well, Jesus, there are a few that believe you're the spotless Lamb of God. Some say that he is the way to heaven. Most adults believe, however, that they will go to heaven as a result of their good works. This is the most common perception among Americans who have never made a commitment to Jesus. In this category, people believe they will go to heaven because they have tried to obey the Ten Commandments, or as a result of basically being a good person, or on the grounds that God loves all people and will not let them perish. This is another mind-blowing stat to me. Of all the people surveyed, and these are of the ones that said they had made a personal commitment to Jesus. So they just took the ones that said, yes, I've made a personal commitment to Jesus. And of those people, only about 60% on average believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. How many times do you hear people say, well, I'm a good person, or I follow the Ten Commandments. I live my life well. I treat other people good. I'm a good person. And, you know, old Bob, he was a good person and he lived a good life and he treated people great. I'm sure he's smiling down on us from heaven right now. I've never seen anywhere where it talks about in the Bible that a good person is what is the way to heaven. And on the last point, this is one that's actually kind of a growing belief that God loves all people and he will not let them perish. Ironically enough, there's a preacher in Michigan at the Mars Hill Congregation, Mars Hill Church in Michigan, named Rob Bell. It's a congregation of about 10,000 people. And he wrote a book called Love Wins. You may have seen bumper stickers on people's cars. It's a popular bumper sticker. Love Wins drives around. And his belief and what is written in this book is that everybody's going to go to heaven. And Jesus is not the way to heaven, because if you believe that Jesus is the way to heaven and you live your life so right now, then Jesus is going to come back and you're going to go to heaven and everybody else is going to be left here. And then everybody else that's left here that never believed in Jesus and that Jesus wasn't the way to heaven, they're all going to get a second chance and they're going to realize that God's love is so great that everybody's going to believe and that everybody's going to go to heaven and nobody goes to hell. And I mean, that's a wildly popular belief now. So, who do some say the Son of Man is? Well, Jesus, about half the people that believe in you think that you're the way to heaven. So let's look at this from another standpoint. Not who do people say that I am. Jesus, who do you say that you are? So when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, Jesus, who do you say that you are? Jesus says that he's not merely a man. John 8:23, he said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. In John 8:58, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. In John chapter 10, verses 36 through 38, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Contrary to this growing belief, Jesus was not merely a historical figure. Jesus, who do you say that you are? I am the Son of God. Jesus also tells us that he's the bread of life. In John chapter 6, we see that Jesus has just fed 5,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. The people get so worked up that Jesus has to withdraw from them to a remote place in the mountains because he's able to see that they're about to try and basically take him and make him king. So he retreats back. When evening comes, I don't understand this part, but when evening comes, his followers, his disciples get in a boat, and well, they take off across the Sea of Galilee and they leave him. I don't know if that's by design or if they're just ready to get out of there and he wasn't ready to get out of there, but they get in a boat and they take off and he stays behind. And a little while later, they see him walking across the water. I think John's account of this is pretty interesting because it's the most non-climactic, I guess, description of this. John basically says, they were in a boat, they saw Jesus walking, he got in the boat, and they got to the other side. And that, to me, I, I would think if I saw Jesus walking across the water, I would record a little bit more in that instance. But John doesn't in that particular case. But we see Jesus walks across the water, gets in the boat. They get over to Capernaum. And the next day, the crowd on the other side where he fed them realize he's not here. And they want to go looking for him. So they go around the sea again, or they get in the boats and they go across and go to Capernaum and find him. They ask him for a sign. And he tells them that it wasn't Moses that gave the Israelites bread in the wilderness, but the Father. And then this gets us to this point. He is likening himself to the bread that was sent from the Father, as bread was sent to the Israelites in the Old Testament in the wilderness. And Jesus says to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And a little bit later he says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me has eternal life. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So Jesus, who do you say that you are? I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus, who do you say that you are? Jesus would say, I am the good shepherd. Leading up to this, in John chapter 10, Jesus has just healed a man that was blind from birth. You'll probably remember this. He's been blind from birth, and Jesus gets some dirt. He spits in the ground, makes some mud, rubs it on his eye, and tells him to go wash in the pool, and he does, and his sight's restored. Well, the Pharisees want to know, you know, what's going on, because this was on the Sabbath day. And so they're all worked up because this man was healed on the Sabbath day. First of all, they don't even believe he was blind. They put him to trial. They bring his parents in there. His parents say, hey, he's old enough. You ask him yourself. Don't get us involved in this. So they bring him back in. He tells them who it was. And they cast him out of the temple. And so when Jesus hears about this, I don't know if I can find it back in my notes. And then the Pharisees are the ones that that have the problem with this, and so Jesus begins to talk to the Pharisees. Okay, the Pharisees overhear it. He asks them, And Jesus tells the man about being blind, and he tells them that he is the Messiah, and tells them that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. So some Pharisees overhear it, and they ask him, are you calling us blind? Are you saying that we are blind? Jesus basically tells them yes, and then that's when it leads us into this. He begins to tell the Pharisees here that he's the good shepherd, and he tells them that he is the one that the gatekeeper has allowed in. God has allowed Jesus to become the shepherd because Jesus is the one who's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. A little bit later, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. The Pharisees, not the shepherd. Jesus was the good shepherd. Jesus, who do you say that you are? I am the good shepherd, who is the only one that the gatekeeper has entrusted, and he has entrusted me with the flock because I lay down my life for them on my own authority. Jesus, who do you say that you are? Jesus would say, I am the Christ. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. This is Jesus speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well, at Jacob's well in Samaria. He's met with this woman, and he tells her that everyone that drinks from this well will thirst again, but he has water that no one will thirst again. And she asks him about, where is this water? Tell me about this water. And Jesus tells him that, you know, the past they worshipped on this mountain, but God desires to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And she asks a little bit more about that, and then he tells her about her own life. He says to go and get her husband, and she says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, rightly so, you've had five, and the one you're living with now isn't your husband. It's at this point where she says, I perceive or I see that you're a prophet. And Jesus then goes into telling her about the Messiah, and she asks about that. She asks about the Messiah, and Jesus tells her, I am He. I am the Messiah. In Mark chapter 14, verses 61 through 62, Jesus has just been arrested, and He's been brought before the council. And that finally, there have been a lot of false testimony against Christ. They're trying to bring false witness against Christ to find a way to put Him to death, and they can't do it because all this false testimony, none of it's lining up. None of the false testimony lines up. And finally, the high priest stands up and asks Jesus if He has any defense against the accusations, and Christ remains silent. Again, the high priest asks Him, are You the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus answers him, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. So Jesus, who do You say that You are? I am the Christ, the Messiah, who the prophets told you about, the Son of the Blessed. Jesus, who do You say that You are? Jesus would tell you, I am the way to eternal life. In the upper room with His apostles, as He's just partaken the last Passover meal with them, at this point, He's already washed their feet, and it's here that He's given a very intimate talk, benediction, if you will, to those that are there. And He speaks to them to comfort them. He reassures them to believe in Him as they've believed in God, and that He's going to prepare a place for them. And Thomas asks, we don't know where You are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus makes this statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Jesus has gone to prepare a place, and there's only one way to get there, and it is through Him. So Jesus, who do You say that You are? I am the way and the truth and the life. Lastly, Jesus would tell us that He is the Alpha and the Omega. Here in both of these accounts, John has been exiled to Patmos, and was this first one. In Revelation says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day when he heard a voice from behind him, and he turned around and fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his hand on him and said, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. So Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. And then in Revelation chapter 22, at the close of the book, John writes this encounter where Jesus again affirms that He's the first and the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus is not merely a man that existed in history. He's not just another religious figure like Muhammad, like Buddha or Confucius or whoever else you want to bring up in that conversation. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the first, the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus, who do you say that you are? I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they give Him His explanations. Christ, people say that You existed as a historical figure. Christ, some people say that You were sinless. Some people say You are the way to heaven. Some people say You are the Son of God. But people here today, who do you say that I am? That's the question I want to leave you with this morning, because that's the question that is the most important. Peter's response was very important in the moment, and Peter's response is important for us to study. But Peter's response does not have any merit on you. Peter's response does not save you, because Peter responded a certain way doesn't take care of your soul. The question is presented to you. The question is presented to you from the decision that you have or have not made to become a Christian. The question is presented to you for how you live your life on a daily basis. The question is presented to you for how you answer this question when other people ask it. Who do you say that I am? I would invite you to think about that throughout the remainder of the day, and hopefully I'll spark some interest to think about it throughout this week and to study it a little bit more. If for the first time you've realized who Jesus is, then now would be a great time to respond to the call that follows that. Because there is a response to action. If you truly believe all the things that we just looked at about who Jesus says that he is, then you'll be prompted to action. And if that's you, I would invite you to do that this morning. If you have already believed in those things, but maybe your life doesn't reflect it, the decisions you make each day don't reflect, I really believe that Jesus is the Christ. I really believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I really believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the only way to the Father. Maybe your actions don't reflect that. And you are not the only one, I can promise you. You don't have to come forward for that. Find somebody and talk to them about it. Pray about it. Reach out to somebody. Because those are the things that we struggle with constantly. If anything that we said this morning, if you have any need that you need to discuss or talk about, I invite you to do that this morning as we stand together and sing.
Fixing us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation,
good to see everybody here this morning. It's always good to be encouraged by one another. And if you're not our normal group of people, if you're visitors, we want to especially let you know that we appreciate you being here, encourage you to come back and be with us. Always invited to be here. If you wouldn't mind opening up a bulletin or flyer or whatever you want to call this piece of paper here. We're going to kind of look at a few things